Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Wraith by Jeffrey H. Haskell, narrated by Lacey Laurel. Chapter 1. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. I hate New Orleans. It killed my brother Charles when I was 11, and it's been killing me every day since. Nowhere else have I lived where the thermometer would hit 75 and have rain pour from the sky all on Thanksgiving Day. Oh, how I miss New York at that moment. The Lyft driver waited patiently for me to open the door on the tiny electric car they all seemed to favor. I clutched my Italian leather handbag like a safety blanket and gathered up the courage to step foot on my parents' lawn for our annual holiday get-together. This was the last place I wanted to be, and it was the only place I had left to go. With a sigh, I pushed the door open. Rain instantly washed in, soaking the maroon skirt wrapped around my legs. I wasn't dressed for this weather, partly because of denial. I didn't want to be here, and partly out of habit. When I left home this morning, I had no idea that it would be my last day as a model. Green grass covered the lawn right up to the foot-wide flower bed that lined the walk. It was filled with lavender, in my mom's eternal quest to bring back honeybees to New Orleans. I could barely hear my shoes click-clack on the walkway over the driving rain. I raised my handbag over my head to keep my hair dry as I half-walked, half-ran for the porch. I'd spent hours on my hair, and getting it straight was no mean feat. Losing all that hard work in the rain would only take a few moments. For a pair of lawyers, you'd think my parents would have a nicer house, but they still lived in the home I grew up in, the one I left almost 9 years ago. I came back only once each year for Thanksgiving. It was Mom and Dad's favorite holiday. I do love them and my little sister, but every time I set foot in New Orleans, I'm that same little kid with only hopes and dreams to keep me going. Now that they are all crushed, being back here was even harder. As I approached the front door, Mom flung it open to greet me with a big smile on her chubby face. She'd aged since I saw her last. A bit of gray around her temples and more laugh lines creasing the black skin around her brown eyes. "Maddie!" she cried out. I smiled as we embraced, thankful for the warm welcome and the reminder of home. "Hi, Mom," I said. She led me inside, shutting the door behind me. "How long can you stay this time?" "A while," I said as I put my bag down and shook off my leather coat. She raised an eyebrow at me. "How long is a while?" I shrugged. "I don't want to talk about it." I was soon distracted by the smell of turkey, mashed potatoes, and fresh baking rolls. Everything I love about Thanksgiving, but haven't been able to enjoy since I was 16. Old habits die hard, but there was no reason not to relish since my modeling career was over. "Maddie!" Sarah screamed. My 14-year-old sister ran from the stairs to leap in my arms. "You're home!" "I'm home, Spice Cake," I said. She crinkled her nose at my using her nickname. Sarah wore her hair in a fro, something I wish I had done when I was her age, but it just wasn't popular then. I wouldn't have spent all that time and money keeping my hair straight. "You know I'm 14 now. You can use my name," she said. "Oh, wow, 14. You are wise to the world." I lifted her up off the ground and spun around. Of my family, she understood me best, despite the 13-year age gap. After what happened with Charles, they had wanted another child. Secretly, I think Mom had hoped for a boy, not to replace my brother, but to fill in for him. Instead, they got Sarah. She's an angel, a straight-A student who stayed out of trouble and away from any bad elements. It probably helped that Dad was the assistant district attorney for the city. Not that my mom didn't have anything to do with it, since she was one of the city's finest property lawyers. Okay, I'm proud of them, I admit it. It's hard not to be. They've accomplished so much in their life, and they provided a wonderful home for us. Life doesn't have to be horrid to be hard. Parents don't have to be mean to mistreat their children. Coming home was difficult for me every time. There were too many painful memories wrapped up in this place. If they'd come see me in New York, I'd be thrilled, but New Orleans. I tried my best to put it behind me and enjoy my life. It didn't matter anymore. Henry will be here any minute, Sarah whispered as she led me to the living room. Thanks for the warning, Spice. I hugged her tight. Of course, Mom invited Henry. Nothing makes a family dinner more awkward than an ex-husband. We passed the living room and, as usual, the TV was on. No volume, though. ASU was busy getting their butts kicked by Kansas State, Dad's alma mater. He was nowhere to be seen. Where's Dad? Sarah rolled her eyes at me. You know where? Yeah, I should have. Upstairs working as usual. Some things never changed. I spent a little time catching up with Sarah. She wanted to tell me all about this boy she wasn't interested in. Are you staying this time? Sarah asked out of the blue. Yeah, Spice, I am. For a little while anyway. Which means... She sighed. I have to share a room with you. Ew. She fiend pushing me away and holding her nose. The house only had 3 bedrooms. One was Mom and Dad's, the other was their office, and the third, Sarah's. She was still sleeping in their room when I left for college. How's the modeling business treating you? Dad's voice interrupted us as he came down the squeaking stairs. Fine, I replied a little too stiltedly. Sarah gave me a look. I hushed her with a wave of my hand. I'll explain later, I whispered. Dad seemed to sense something was off and even opened his mouth to reply, but didn't, just giving me a tight smile before turning to the kitchen. They're under a lot of stress, Sarah said, defending Dad's lack of warmth, as if he hadn't been like that to me since Charles passed away. What now? I asked. Something about a new gang moving into town? A lot of kids in school are talking about it. They have superpowers and flaunt the law. I guess they moved out from South America and are taking advantage of the recent unrest to move in. I stood staring at her for a moment. When did you become fluent in geopolitics? I asked. She raised up her smartphone. All the knowledge in the world in one handy electric device. Seriously, how did you even grow up without Google? I pushed her playfully away from me. Back in my day, we had to look things up on a computer, not some fancy-smancy smartphone. That's so you, she said. We laughed, and for the first time since I arrived, I relaxed. Only for a moment, though. As soon as I let my guard down, the events of the day caught up with me. What? She said. What? You got all sad the way Mom does when she looks at pictures of Charles, Sarah said. Perceptive girl. I'm glad to hear Mom still had pictures of him. I'd have to ask her about that. After he died, I couldn't tell if they were mourning, trying to forget him, or what. Mostly, Dad was too busy blaming me for what happened, and Mom spent all her time crying. They had each other, then they had Sarah. I had no one. I shook my head. Nothing for it now, Spice. Let's just say my schedule opened up. A lot. Her eyes went wide. Don't you have another modeling gig lined up? I shook my head again. Nope. Come on. Dinner's about ready. Let's eat. Oh, Charles. I wish you could be here, little brother. I'm sorry you're not. As soon as we sat down, Dad pulled out his cell phone and laid it on the table next to his plate, checking it every few seconds. Mom did her best to ignore his rudeness as she served up the turkey and all the accoutrements she'd spent the day cooking. Awkward silence stretched out as we finished loading up our plates with steaming hot food. "How's Henry coming along at the office?" I asked Dad. It was the only thing I could think of to break the silence. Anything other than my career and life. All I needed was to hear Dad say, "I told you so," and I would lose it. "Good. A sharp young man. He'll be DA one day if he plays his cards right. He's aggressive, ambitious, all the right things. Take this ISO-1 case we're building. He's really pushing the police superintendent to make some arrests."
"They're not going to," Sarah said. Dad cocked his head to the side at her comment.
"Oh, wise one. Please explain how you know this," Dad asked.
"NOPD doesn't use superpowered cops. Everyone knows ISO-1 has supers working for them. Unless the Saints or the Protectors get involved, there isn't anything that can be done. It's just like the Riot Boys all over again. If Louisiana was like New York and required supers to work for the state..."
"Let me just stop you right there, honey,"
Dad said, holding up his hand. "You know what I didn't want? Another lecture about those damn Yankees."
"It remains to be seen if the Night Watch will win its legal battle with the Supreme Court. Mandating someone serve the state is a lot like indentured servitude. Just because someone is born with or manifests superpowers doesn't give us the right to make them a soldier or police officer or anything."
Sarah rolled her eyes at him. I can almost hear the retort coming before she says it. "Well, Maddie thinks, leave me out of this. If it were up to me, no one would have superpowers. Then we wouldn't get things like what happened in D.C.
"If no one had superpowers, then the aliens would have destroyed the Earth,"
Dad replied. I sighed. "Oh, come on. You really believe that nonsense? Did you see any aliens?"
"All I saw was that team. The Protectors," Sarah added.
"Yeah. All I saw was them fighting a giant robot. Something they did over and over again for a couple of years," I said.
"People flying in bulletproof skin were one thing. But aliens? Give me a break. Of course we had this discussion before. Dad has always stood on the side of the superheroes, while I would rather they not exist. After all, if there were no superpowers, Charles would still be alive. Something my parents seem intent on forgetting."
"Maddie, Alex, please. Not this argument."
The doorbell interrupted Mom, and just in time.
"That will be Henry,"
Dad said with a tight smile.
"Try to be civil, Maddie. He's a co-worker."
"I'm not the one who left, Dad. He did. But yes, I'll be civil." Mom stood up and headed for the door. "So, Spice, what's your favorite subject in school?" I asked Sarah. She just opened her mouth to answer when Mom returned with a drenched Henry Williams, my ex-husband. He always did look good. Henry had the kind of easy good looks that wouldn't be out of place in a movie. However, today, he looked haggard. His clothes didn't fit quite right, and there were bags under his eyes.
"Henry, good to see you, son,"
Dad said, standing. I dropped my head to hide my unreasonable anger. When Henry left me, it was like Charles all over again. It was like they loved him more than me. When our marriage ended, they continued to talk to him and have him over for dinner, while I was the ostracized one. I know they didn't mean for it to be that way, but it was.
"Alex, Nadia,"
he said coolly. He glanced over at me and Sarah, a frown on his face.
"Hi, Madison. I didn't know you would be here."
"It's Thanksgiving, Henry. Mom would serve me up as pie if I didn't come." I did my best to break the tension. We were only married for 6 months, but it felt like a lifetime.
"Listen, Alex, is there someplace we can talk?"
he asked Dad.
"What? Now? Henry, sit down and have some food. We can talk after dinner."
Henry opened his mouth to protest, but decided against it, and pulled a chair opposite of me, not bothering to take off his dripping coat before sitting. His eyes,
the same ones I used to love gazing at for hours on end, darted back and forth between Sarah and me several times.
Madison, maybe you and Sarah should go for a bit. You know, take a drive downtown or something, he said.
I grinned. He wasn't going to get rid of me that easily. I may not like coming home, but it was my home, damn it. I'd be hanged if I let him chase me away. No. We haven't even started dinner. He nodded.
Still, you should go.
How could he annoy me so fast? I could put up with him, but not if he was going to spend the evening trying to throw me out of my own home. Even though I didn't want to be here, I wasn't going to leave because he said so.
You've got a lot of nerve, I said to him, pointing my fork for emphasis. You can't come in here and tell me what to do. You aren't my husband anymore, remember?
Maddie, please,
Dad broke in.
Maddie, please. You did hear him just tell me to leave, right? And you're taking his side?
We don't have time for this,
Henry said, standing up so fast he knocked his chair over. Here it comes. He's going to go into some big speech about how everything is my fault.
Alex, I need you to call Superintendent Reeds and tell him to back off ISO-1. We need more time to gather evidence.
That wasn't what I expected him to say.
Is that what this is about? You came here on Thanksgiving to talk business with Dad? For the love of... I get it. You're both very important people, but can you let one day go by without work?
I asked. Henry ignored me as he pulled his cell phone out, scanning through the contacts until he found the right number before shoving it into Dad's face.
What?
Dad asked, confusion plain on his face. Henry was freaking me out. Now that I had a little time to get past the shock of seeing him, he didn't look haggard. He looked frightened.
Henry, what's going on? I asked him.
I stood up, taking Sarah's hand in mine. Maybe leaving wasn't such a bad idea. The oven beeped, interrupting us. Mom stood up and excused herself as she headed over to the kitchen.
Please, you don't have much time. I'm begging you, make the call.
Henry pleaded. He really sounded desperate.
I don't know what's gotten into you, son, but we aren't discussing this here.
Whatever it is can wait until after the holiday.
Henry sagged under the answer, as if all the weight in the world were heaped upon his shoulder.
Please, he whispered.
The sadness in that one word sent a surge of fear through me. I'd never seen Henry this way, and we'd known each other since the fifth grade. I squeezed Sarah's hand and pulled her to me as I walked for the garage. The car keys hung on pegs I'd painted in the sixth grade.
It's too late, Henry said. Too late.
Mom screamed from the kitchen. I spun around only to see her run into the room with wide-eyed terror as she beat furiously at her legs. Then they burst into flames and I screamed too. Sarah's scream followed my own. I panicked.
Stop, drop, and roll, spoken 1,000 times to me in school, filled my head. I let go of Sarah and charged Mom. I hit her with enough force to knock us both down. She wailed as the fire continued to burn her. I winced as pain shot up my hands from the heat. God, how could she catch on fire this quick?
I rolled her over and over, trying to get the fire out. Then I heard Sarah scream louder. The lights in the room flickered. A ghost walked through the walls, tall, lean, and wearing all white like a TV villain. He marched straight toward Dad, passing through solid objects as if they weren't there. He trailed a straight razor in his hand, flipping it around like a toy. Dad stood up, gripping a steak knife. As a man approached, Dad slashed at him. The blade went right through. The ghost laughed as he slashed back. The razor cut through Dad's throat, sending a spray of blood against the wall.
No!
Dad stumbled backward, clasping his throat with both hands. The blood seeped out of him, coating his chest and arms. The ghost looked at Henry.
Get out of here before it gets real,
he said. Henry nodded, turned, and ran. He didn't even look at me. The ghost did. He peered at me, his milky white eyes striking fear in my heart. I saw no care on the man's face. as if I were no more trouble than a bug to step on. Red light and heat filled the room, drawing an instant bead of sweat from me. A fiery figure walked through the doorway, her body made of fire-given form. The doorway she passed through smoldered, and carpet ignited where she stepped. "Who's left?" she asked. Her voice sounded like fire crackling in a wood stove. "Oh, God. Sarah!" I left Mom, running for my little sister, who stood frozen by the garage door. "Sarah, run!" A blast of heat flared up behind me, and I thought for sure I was dead. Mom choked out her last breath through burnt lungs as the flaming woman fried her to a crisp. I tried not to think about what that meant and just focused on Sarah. I reached her in an instant. Pulling her to me, I kept moving for the garage. If I could make it to the car. Pain unlike anything I'd ever felt before burst through my chest. A blade as long as my arm exploded out of my ribs and into Sarah's heart, killing her. The light went out of her eyes so fast I didn't even have time to say, "Sorry." I crumbled to the ground, the horror of what was going on around me overwhelming my brain and dulling the pain somewhat. I pressed a hand to my chest in a vain attempt to stop the blood gushing out and tried to scream, tried to say something, but the air wouldn't come. When I tried to stand, I slipped in Sarah's blood and fell face first into the floor.
"Can I torch the place now?"
the flaming woman asked.
"Do it,"
Ghost replied. Smoke filled the air as darkness encroached on my vision. I tried to breathe, tried to move, but nothing happened. Then, the blackness took me, and I was thankful. Chapter 2. I woke up screaming for Sarah. I could still get to her, save her. I gasped for breath, jerking upright. Monitors and alarms rang around me as I regained consciousness. Confusion swept over me like a wave. Where am I? A hospital? Why? Oh no. Please, oh please. Let it all have been a bad dream. It wasn't, though. Antiseptic smells burned my nose. Doctors and nurses rushed past in the hall outside. I was in a hospital. I was alone. Sarah. Mohan. Dad. Henry, I said, spitting out his name with as much venom as I could muster. I reached under my shirt and felt a scar. But that wasn't possible. There should be a bandage or something. My hands trembled as I examined my scarred fingers. The skin on my hands was crinkled and devoid of color. Every movement sent fresh waves of pain through me. I could barely make a fist. "Miss, you're awake." A nurse burst in, checking the machines before taking my pulse. "We were wondering if you were ever going to wake up. How are you feeling?" she asked as she pulled an electronic thermometer out and ran it across my forehead. "I don't know," I said. "It's perfectly natural for there to be some fuzziness. Can you tell me your name?" "My name? What was? Oh, right. Madison Dumas." "Very good. Wait right here and I'll get the doctor." I replayed the last moments. The images of my family burned into my brain like a branding iron. Mom screaming, Dad's gurgle as the life flowed out of him, the look of fear on Sarah's face. That was the worst. The walls closed in on me, hyperventilating. I put a hand on my chest, trying to calm myself down. This wasn't, couldn't be right. "Oh, Spice, I'm so sorry." When the nurse returned with the doctor, I was barely aware, lost in the nightmare that my life had become. Why would someone do that to another person? Who were they? It took the doctor several tries to get me to respond to him. When I did, I just gazed at him. I could see his mouth moving, but was not understanding any of the words. He shined a light in my eyes, then left with the nurse. Henry worked at Dad's office, and Dad was an assistant district attorney. I needed to call the police, tell them what happened. I fumbled for the phone before I finally closed my hands around the receiver and held it lamely to my ear. Who would I call? I didn't know anyone in the city offices. It wasn't like I even lived in New Orleans. Looking around the room, I located the closet. I hung the phone up. Long dormant muscles screamed at me as I slipped off the bed and made my way to the closet. Inside were clothes cleaned and folded, along with a sealed plastic bag that had my personal effects, including my smartphone. I ignored the clothes for the moment and pulled out my phone. Thankfully, it was relatively undamaged. I found a cord and plugged it in. After a few minutes, I had the internet. Crappy hospital Wi-Fi, but it would have to do. I cleaned off the smudges on the screen before pulling up the city's webpage. Scrolling through the different names, I scanned for one that sounded familiar. Henry's name wasn't on the list of city attorneys. Wait, how long? I pulled up my calendar. My heart skipped a beat, and I had to force myself not to drop the phone. 6 months? 6 freaking months? Mom, Dad, and Sarah had died 6 months ago? That wasn't right. It just happened. I had no recollection, no dreams, no stirrings of the last 6 months. Didn't people in a coma know they were in one? I closed my eyes on the floor of my home and woke up here. Only seconds had passed. I scrolled on and saw Henry's name. He was the new ADA. He got Dad's job? That son of a bitch! Fingers trembled as I played the video highlighted by his name.
I promise to continue the legacy of integrity and justice my dear friend instilled in me, his recording said.
I swiped it off. I couldn't listen to him. I could barely look at his face without bile building up in the back of my throat. Internal affairs. Right. Every police department had them. I pulled up the NOPD's listing and found the Office of Public Integrity. A lofty-sounding name, surely they could help me. It didn't take long to find the chief detective's number. I picked up the phone next to the bed and punched in the numbers with shaky fingers. I had to start over once when I missed the number I was aiming for.
Detective Franklin's office. Franklin speaking.
Hi. My name is Madison Dumas. I'm Alex Dumas's daughter, I said. My voice cracked as I spoke, my throat dry and raw from lack of use. There was a long pause. I worried he'd hung up on me.
Is this a joke?
He asked eventually. No. No, it isn't. I'm in the hospital. I don't even know which one. My family is dead. I don't. A hollow agony bloomed in my chest. They were gone, really gone. Sarah.
Ma'am, I'm very sorry. I was a friend of your dad's. Is there anything I can do?
He trailed off. Anything he could do? Officer,
a detective.
Whatever. I was there. I saw the whole thing. I'm a witness.
Perhaps I can point you at a grief counselor. You're at NOLA General. They have plenty of good therapists and...
I pulled the phone away from my ear for a moment and stared at it in abject horror. What was he talking about?
Detective, I don't need a counselor. I need to see that rat bastard in jail or worse. I was there. I saw them murder my family. I can tell you what they look like. I can testify that Henry was there. He orchestrated Dad's murder and...
Ma'am, your parents and sister weren't murdered. There was a house fire and you were the...
I stopped listening. Not murdered. That's not possible. Closing my eyes for a moment allowed me to see everything that happened in crystal clear.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?